And let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We return to this sermon series from 1 Samuel, having looked at, from a certain perspective, the judgeship of Samuel in the first seven chapters at a previous time. We turn in chapter 8 to the desire of the Israelites for a king. First Samuel chapter 8, reading together the whole of the chapter as our text and scripture reading this morning. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God from 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abijah. Yet they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. They took bribes and perverted just judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and for his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and he will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take of your men servants and maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to the explanation thereof. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's word, we look at a passage which very much has implications for us today, even though, as I was discussing yesterday, we often don't even have an idea what a king is like. And we certainly have no idea what it means to be judged, as Israel was judged directly, essentially, by God. And yet, as we look at this passage of God's word, we see that Israel is rejecting God as their king. They want an earthly king. They want to be like the other nations. And so often in our daily lives, we look around us and say, why can't I do it that way? I remember when I was a kid, when I would complain to my parents about how they had this or that that I had to do or couldn't do. Well, so-and-so's parents let him do it. And we act the same way to God. Well, the other gods let people do that and this and the other things. We're just like children. And as Jesus says, they were like children in the marketplace. We piped to you and you would not dance. We mourned to you and you would not cry. Brothers and sisters, we have better be very careful about piping and mourning to God and telling Him how it ought to be. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ready to live under what He places us in our everyday lives, in the leadership that He places. And we are called to serve Him. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is that even corrupted leadership under God's guidance is better than following the nations. Guess what? We don't do it right. We fail every day in guiding ourselves, in being guided. Guess what? I fail too. Don't get me wrong. And yet, even corrupted leadership, as we see Samuel's sons were corrupt. Even corrupted leadership under God's guidance is better than following the nations and following man's ideas. And that's what we see in this passage. First of all, in the first three verses, we see that Samuel's sons are perverting justice. And then in verses 4 through 9, we see that the Israelites reject God as their king. And then in verses 10 through 22, we see that despite God's warnings, Israel wants a king. So Samuel's sons pervert justice. Samuel had set up his sons as judges. Samuel is growing old. He had faithfully served God and the people of Israel for essentially his entire life. He's getting old. And we know that in the next chapter that the son of Kish, Saul, has to go someplace to find Samuel. He has to go to the north of Israel. And so Samuel had set up his sons to judge in the south in Beersheba. It was hard for him at this point to move around. It wasn't like we had cars where you can travel 400, 500 miles in a day. So Samuel is getting old. And there's always the question in the back then of people's minds, how long is this guy going to last? And sadly, his sons were not judging in a good manner. We have to ask the question, are dynasties really that good? Remember back in the book of Judges, that one of the judges named his son Abimelech, which is translated into English, "My father was king." Brothers and sisters, it's so easy to follow after people. There is a reason that the United States president is not a president for life, nor is he a family-oriented president. Actually, if you look at the historical documents, the President of the United States, the office of president, was set up to be a king for a four-year period. Like the king of the Netherlands, like the king of England. But he had a time at which he was to get out of office so that people could check and stop whatever's going on, if they didn't like it. As we look then at these things. We see Samuel's sons are seeking dishonest gain. Now, they're not as bad as Eli's sons before Samuel, but they are nonetheless corrupt, we read. They turned after dishonest gain. They took bribes. They perverted justice. Exodus 18:21, "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens." They're not to turn after dishonest gain. The Israelites had an honest complaint. They were taking bribes. Exodus 23:6-8, "You shall not pervert the judgment of the poor, of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous." They were corrupt. Israel had an honest complaint. But where they went with it was absolutely the wrong direction. The Israelites think, well, we want a king like the nations. The Israelites, in rejecting the judge system, were rejecting God as their king. God had set up a wonderful, a very out of the ordinary system in which Israel was to be run. It was a theocracy beyond anything, of course, that otherwise was in the history of the world. Remember the Urim and the Thummim. The ways in which God could tell the Israelites, yes or no, do this or don't do this. And the Israelites were to bring these questions to God in the temple. And yet, they wanted somebody on earth they could look to. As I said, they had good reason to reject Samuel's sons. We read verse 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah." They did not come in a mob. They came quietly. They gathered together to Samuel to talk to him about the situation. Verse 5, "They said to him, 'Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like the nations.'" And if they'd stopped with that first sentence, it wouldn't be in such a bad situation. Samuel seems to have been ready to accept questions concerning his sons. Unlike Eli before him, Samuel was ready to hear them. But it's this Israel's solution that's a problem. "Make us a king to judge us like the nations." Notice even that God had given them commandments for this very situation, for a king. He had predestined it. Yet it was still wrong for Israel to desire it. Get your mind around that one. Deuteronomy 17:14-15 speaks of this. "When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it and dwell in it and say, 'I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me.'" Sound familiar? It always amazes me, even though it shouldn't. "You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren you shall set a king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you, one who is not your brother." Where did that come from in the United States Constitution? Anyway. They had good reason to reject Samuel's sons. Yet, in rejecting Samuel's sons, that wasn't the end of the matter. They wanted a king like the nations. They wanted an earthly king, not a heavenly king. And so Samuel immediately prays. Good idea. Great thing to do. Samuel was a pretty godly guy despite his sons. And God directs him to give them a king. To make a king for them. Is what we read in verse 6. And Israel's rejection of the judges as a rejection of God as their king. 1 Samuel 10 verse 19, when Samuel is setting up Saul, "But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and your tribulations, and you have said to him, 'No, set a king over us.' Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." They had rejected God. God who has saved them. God who is providing for them. Israel was to be much more active in their government, in getting rid of bad judges, in throwing out some of these things that had gone on when we start looking at the book of Judges. I want to take a moment to think about the book of Judges for a second. The book of Judges in the Bible is really a treatise on why Israel needs a king. Do you remember the refrain of Judges? For one example, Judges 17 verse 6, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." The book of Judges is a treatise on why Israel needs a king. And yet, we believe it to be the Word of God. And by this book, Israel did that which was wrong. Who's the king that Judges needs? The true king, God. Not man. Not an earthly king. Judges 8 verse 23, "Gideon said to them, 'I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you.'" God says, "They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." We read here. God was to be king of Israel directly. Directly. And they are rejecting him as king, seeking an earthly king like the nations. God prophesied this when we read in Deuteronomy 17. And yet, Israel's rejection of God aligns with their previous works, is what we read in verses 8 and 9. "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing also to you. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." Israel's rejection of God is not a sudden departure. Guess what? When we sin, it's not a sudden departure from our nature. We're doing what comes naturally. It is unnatural for man to do that which is right in the sight of God. It is not what we do of ourselves. It is only by the grace of God. They had been on a trajectory to this since they left Egypt. By the way, God reminds them, "Hey, I brought you out of there." Remember that? When we think over our lives, when we consider what God has done for us, do we think about it? "Oh, I did that myself." No. God provided. In all of those situations, each and every day, whether we didn't even notice, or whether it was a big deal, God provides. That's, you know, we hear about this all the time in accidents and illness and all of these things. People say, "Well, God provided that I didn't get killed when I was in that car accident when I was 17 years old. I smacked upside the head good. needed it, by the way. Does that mean God wasn't with me yesterday when I drove? Or the other day when I drove downtown? We need to understand something. God is not with us in the hard times and not there in the easy times. God is always with us. God is always providing for us. And so, we are to look to Him again. We talked about it in the Catechism. We're talking about it here. We're not to look around us at the world and say, well, how is the world living? I should live that way. Living as a Christian is going to be different than how the world lives. Better, by the way. That's what God tells us. So often the church does the same thing, seeking to be like the world. Well, remember what God said about the people of Israel. You shall not ask, how did these people before me follow their God? I will do likewise to God. The Bible says we are to do exactly what He tells us. You shall not add to it or subtract from it. That's in Deuteronomy. Israel's rejection of God aligns with their previous works. Augustine wrote, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel that you believe. It's yourself. If we believe what we want out of God's Word and don't believe other things, sorry, we don't believe God. We believe myself. And yet, even as God whacks Israel upside of the head and they needed it, God says, give them a king. But notice what else He says. You shall solemnly warn them the behavior of this king. Beyond which, God promises, when this king is nasty and this king is hard on you, verse 18, what's He say? And you cry out in that day because the king whom you have chosen for yourself and the Lord will not hear you in that day. When God calls us to be obedient to Him again and again and again and again, and we say, no, I'm doing it my way. You can hoof it, God. That's what we're saying. God says, guess what? You can hoof it too. Let me tell you, it's not a situation to be in. And so God warns them. We start talking about the greedy nature of the king, all of which came to pass. Every one of these things. Take their sons to run his chariots. Let's think about that. What does God say about that? Deuteronomy 17, 16 through 20. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest he turn his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver or gold for himself. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this book of the law for one of the priests, from the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Notice he says don't get horses. Elsewhere he says don't try to get chariots. What does God promise is going to happen? The king's going to work for horses. Going to take your people to run chariots, going to have your sons tend his farms. taking your daughters for cooks, for perfumers, for bakers, taking the best fields, vineyards, olive groves, taxing everything you got. Sound familiar? To the point that you will cry out, he says. Yet God will not hear. You have chosen this mess for yourselves and your sins. As I said, hoof it. When we choose evil things, when we want things which are sinful from our government, and the government finally gives them to us, we're in trouble. And yet, what does Israel say? We want it. We want what a king like nations. We want security. A feather bed. The people refuse to obey the voice of Samuel, to obey even the warnings of God. You gotta sit and think about that for a second. God takes the time to speak through Samuel, to warn them a second time. Nope, not gonna do it. They will have a king over them. Why? Same reason. We've heard this reason now from Deuteronomy, now back here again. To be like the nations. To judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. This is what God was doing for Israel. Judging them, fighting their battles. But they wanted a man to do it. Who's going to fight for me? Who's going to provide for me? Isn't the government supposed to do that? Not according to the Word of God. Earthly security instead of trusting in God has shipwrecked the faith of numerous believers. Exodus 23 verse 2, you shall not go follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Deuteronomy 12 verse 30, and there's so many others I could attest here. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you. And you shall not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise. Jesus said, that which is well loved among man is abomination to God. He doesn't put a question mark at the end of that. If it is well loved by man, it is an abomination to God. We can take that to the bank. We are not to seek after that which everybody around us thinks is important. We're to seek after the glory of God. To serve God as our King. Now, as we said, God provides what man seeks. God warns them. God says, it's going to be a problem. You're going to cry out under His hand. And again, notice what Samuel does, verse 21. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. He prays again. Reminder how much we need to pray. And yet, God says, give them a king. And if we remember the history of Israel, we've got 5 more books about how bad it is. Yes, certainly there were good kings in there. And God used, that's one thing we need to realize. God did use some of the kings of Israel for good. Just because it's a sin for us doesn't mean that God can't use it for good. But brothers and sisters, I think we need to, and we can't do much with it, but I think we need to ask a question in our mind. What would have happened if Israel hadn't sought a king? If they had been obedient to God? The blessings that God would have provided. I think we can say they would have been numerous, but we don't know what they were fully. And so, brothers and sisters, here's the thing that we need to take away from this. As we as Christians are not to spend our time looking for security in this earth from human beings, or to seek it from God. Furthermore, our security is not earthbound, is it? It's eternal in Jesus Christ. Far better than, well, I got enough in the bank. FDIC insured. Our security is in Jesus Christ. It's perfect security. And so, brothers and sisters, as we live in this world, then we don't sit here and say, well, how's everybody else doing it? We say, how does the Lord require me to do it? That has implications for farming, for everything else. We're not to be greedy in all these different things. And we're to seek, even when there are problems. We see Samuel's sons were not right. We don't just sit back and say, well, okay, steamroller, God put these idiots in office. We do our best to change it. Israel had every right to come to Samuel and say, these guys aren't any good, let's find some new ones. But only in God's system. Trusting Him, not in ourselves. Amen. Let us rise and bow before our God in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious and our merciful Heavenly Father, indeed we do come before You in thanksgiving that You direct all things, that we need not fear what goes on, what's coming, what's going, but indeed that all things are so in Your hand that without Your will they cannot so much as move. A hair can't fall from our head without Your will. So, Lord, we come before You and pray that we might put our trust in You. That we would focus on serving You. And that all of these other things then we understand You provide. We pray, O Lord, that we might not be swayed by what the people around us think. But indeed, O Lord, that we would always be reforming back to that Word. To that Gospel. We pray, O Lord, that You would turn where there are those who are in authority over us, that You would turn them to the truth of the Gospel, to their need for a Savior. And we pray, O Lord, that You would give us grace to serve You no matter what You send upon us. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving that You have given us the King Jesus, the perfect King. And we pray, O Lord, that we might serve Him even as we saw in previous weeks, as the angels do in heaven. We ask these things, we bow before His throne, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's turn then in our hymnals to number 486. Number 486. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea.